The Successful Micropreneur Podcast is sponsored by Liberty National Bank.
Thank you for joining the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. My name is Mary McCarthy, and I am the owner of YMT Consultants and your host. As many of you may be aware, there are three ways to enter into microbusiness ownership. Start a business from the ground up, purchase an existing business, or you can buy a franchise concept. Joining us today from Atlanta is Leslie Kubin.
Hello, Mary. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, Leslie, we're really glad you joined us, and you're with FranNet, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So we're going to, obviously, since you work with FranNet, we're going to talk about purchasing a franchise today.
Excellent. My favorite topic.
Good. So, Leslie, what is FranNet? Let's start with that. And then why did you decide to become a franchise FranNet owner? Because this is a franchise, correct?
Yes. I am a franchisee of FranNet. And so it's kind of a picture in a picture. A lot of people don't know that our service is available, even though FranNet's been in business for 30 years. And the short of it is we are a matchmaking service for people who usually have never owned their own business before. They've been working in a corporate career. They'd love to have, you know, more independence, more control, more flexibility in their own business, but they don't have their own entrepreneurial idea, so to speak, and they are not in a spot usually to take a big risk. So turning to one of the many excellent franchise opportunities available today can be how that first-time business owner bridges from being employed to being a business owner. So we're a matchmaker for those people who need help figuring out what's out there, what they will be best suitable for, how to minimize their risk and maximize their chances for success and make it happen.
And that's really important. In fact, not only are you a franchisee now with FranNet, you actually owned a franchise before this. So you're really experienced with franchises.
Well, yes, and I have to say, even before that, you know, I've grown up in franchising. My dad started that in our family when I was very young. He left the corporate world, you know, bought a franchise business, and over the years, our family was involved in a variety of franchises in the education industry, in photo finishing. I worked in these businesses, and then Mailboxes, et cetera, was my first franchise in which I was a owner and operating partner. You know, I owned that for a couple of years, and my plan all along entering that business was to sell it, which I did. I built some equity in it, mm-hmm. and sold that business. And then I through that experience, I learned that I was really more wired to be in consulting and teaching and marketing versus a behind the counter kind of business, which MBE was a great business.
Okay.
It was a great experience, but not necessarily the perfect fit for me.
Right. And that was one of the things that when I was reading your bio, I found interesting that you went from basically a pack and ship, a mailboxes, et cetera. And if people don't know that term, they're now UPS stores. Right.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then you moved to FranNet, which is really more of a sales and consulting focus.
Exactly. Very different skill set.
Uh-huh.
And one of the reasons when I was approached to join the FranNet organization, I was really excited about it because I never went through a process like that when I was figuring out what I wanted to do. And even though it was a great experience, I kind of wondered, you know, might I made that same decision if someone had taken me through an assessment of my skills and my interests and mm-hmm. how I wanted my business to fit in with the rest of my life. Again, I don't regret my prior pack and ship experience, but I never did that consulting process, which is why I was so attracted to it when FranNet approached me about becoming the franchise owner for Metro Atlanta.
Since FranNet is a franchise, they are nationwide, so I'm sure a lot of people have heard of FranNet. But I agree with you. It is really important in business ownership. And it's funny because I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a franchise owner. People don't consider that to be a true small business. But it is. You buy a franchise, but it's still your business. You're still the one that has to make it succeed or not. And you're still the one that's investing all of your time, intention, and your finances into it. But you have support from the back end, from the franchisor, who's figured out how to make the concept work. To me, that's the difference.
Exactly. And I think that's, I have some strong opinions about how franchisees are not, they're not necessarily entrepreneurs in the sense that they created the vision of the business, but boy, the franchisor is not running the business for them day to day. As you mentioned, it's their capital, it's their sweat equity. that is making that business work. The franchisor is providing the toolbox, but the franchisees are the ones using the tools to make their business successful.
Right. The franchisee is still fearful, still has to get out and do sales, still has to come out of their comfort zone. There's still a lot of things you have to do. It's not done for you, which
absolutely.
If it were, we would be really appreciative, I'm sure.
Well, and I think some ways, though, that first-time business owner, you know, they look to franchising. And we've talked a little bit about how, you know, women are really, you know, growing as a segment of franchise owners. And I think some of the reasons for that are entering a business through a franchise can reduce risk. For people who've never owned their own business before, women in particular tend to be more risk sensitive. So with there being a proven process in place, with there being a track record for being able to conduct due diligence before actually committing to starting the business, a nice benefit to franchise opportunities is that risk reduction piece of it.
Well, and in fact, interesting enough, because I love statistics, International Franchising Association, the IFA, actually states 30.6% of franchises are owned by women. So that's a number that's really grown over the last 10 years.
And I see it growing every year across, you know, across all kinds of segments. I've worked with single moms going into their own business through franchising. I've worked with young people, you know, young women, young men, but, you know, a lot of the younger folks they're just kind of wired. I think they're exposed to entrepreneurship in their education and the popularity of entrepreneurship, like shows by Shark Tank, it's kind of in the vernacular. So we're really seeing a lot of growth in all of these different segments being attracted to franchising. It's really cool.
Well, so I had said when I first started the intro that there are three ways to get into business ownership. And I will tell you, I know about franchising as well, and I have experience working in the business brokerage and franchising world for a while. I know a little bit about all kinds of things, Leslie, but here's what I found interesting, and you can tell us your thoughts on this. So someone who truly just wants to create their own thing, do their own way, and I fit more into that category. I don't necessarily want to do what everybody else has done. If everyone goes right, I want to at least, you know, veer a little bit left and figure out a new way of doing it. That's just the way my brain works. But then there are others that just truly love the process. They love the procedures. They love the support system. So to me, that's a really great person that can go into franchising because it gives them that comfort level. And you talked about it being a little bit risk averse, which it can be. So if you're more of my bent, would I make a good franchisee? My thought has always been no, because the whole point of spending that kind of money to buy a franchise is because you want to follow the proven system. Do you agree?
You know, Mary, I would say, maybe, maybe not.
Oh,
there are definitely people who would not be well-suited in a franchise. There are definitely those people. I mean, I would say the high visionary, you know, highly creative, independence, you know, freedom driven, even if it means more risk, that's just where they're better suited. I do think there is room, though, for innovation and creativity within franchise systems, especially franchise systems that are more on the emerging side of their growth curve. There will be a, you know, foundation of a proven business, you know, model there, but the recipe hasn't been, you know, fully baked yet, so to speak. And as a franchise system grows and evolves, it needs to stay competitive, and that requires innovation. And you usually see where that innovation comes from is a combination of the franchisees in the field and the franchisor working together to identify new ways of offering their products or services, new methods of delivery. So to say there isn't any room for that creative person, I don't think is quite right. But definitely a good franchise candidate is someone who is willing to trust a process. If someone's going to come in and they're going to want to change everything day one, they're going to immediately have friction, you know, with the franchisor and maybe the other franchisees. So, I'd also say, you know, a good franchisee candidate is someone who sees entrepreneurship as a team sport. They're very communicative with the franchisor and the other franchisees. That's a key piece of the success and the enjoyment. You know, if someone's truly a lone ranger, you know, they probably would be, you know, better fit doing something on their own.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I think that opens up a lot more. not only then can there be some creativity from what I just heard you say, but there's a lot of variety in franchising. So what are some of the top franchises and why are people drawn to them per se?
Sure. And people are surprised often to know that there's in North America alone, we're not even talking international franchising, North mm-hmm. America, there are over 4,000 unique franchise concepts to choose from. You could spend your lifetime investigating different franchise opportunities. And there's while you know food and restaurants are a big chunk of it, you know, a lot of people are surprised to know that there are a wealth of opportunities in business-to-business services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, you know, that's a very popular category. If you think about it, you know, more and more companies, from small businesses to large companies, are outsourcing, you know, more and more of their business functions. And that creates an opportunity for all kinds of businesses, you know, franchising included, to provide business-to-business products and services. And that could be custom commercial signage. It could be staffing of different kinds. It could be all kinds of consulting. There are great franchises in marketing consulting, logistics consulting. So that's usually a surprise for people to know that there's this wide world of B2B that can be enjoyable and rewarding. Another big category in franchise opportunities are what we call semi-passive investments. These are kinds of franchises, and it could be in the fitness world, it could be in beauty services, it can be in retail and food service of all kinds, where the franchisee is actually going to keep their job for a number of years, or they have another business, and they're looking to owning the franchise as a side investment to build a supplemental or diversified stream of income. A lot of folks we work with, they've been laid off from their job. They've been laid off multiple times, and the job market is hot right now. So if someone is looking, they'll probably be able to land another opportunity, but they'll be back out in job search in another 2 to 3 years. So we're seeing a large growing popularity in these semi-passive businesses so people can create an income stream now that is secure and gaining in momentum in another 2 or 3 years when they're back in the job search mode.
Okay, so a lot of opportunity then. And then also, there's also then a lot big difference in the investment as well, because you're not only paying the franchisor a franchise fee, and then typically royalties and sometimes even marketing royalties. But it varies on the type of franchise you purchase, how much of an investment it is.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a large world. I'd venture to say, you know, maybe a quarter of the franchise opportunities available are home-based. You don't need brick and mortar. You don't need to hire a lot of people or buy equipment and inventory. So the whole investment, franchise fees, startup costs, working capital can, you know, be well under $100,000. Which really opens the door for people to be able to get into business and get it going quickly mm-hmm. and grow and see a good return in a reasonable amount of time.
Okay. Well, I think we just have a minute or two left. So if you had one piece of advice, let's say, that you could give our listening audience that might be considering business ownership, what would it be?
Spend some time educating yourself. You know, franchising is a large and robust world. There are great franchise opportunities available. There are not so great franchise opportunities available. Don't rush yourself. Mm-hmm. Go out and talk to people mm-hmm. who own franchises and learn what they like, learn what they don't, what they would do differently. I of course have to be very self-serving in suggesting that we offer a tremendous library of online resources on a national basis. Friendnet.com mm-hmm. Is a great resource for all kinds of educational information. My local website is AtlantaFranchiseExperts.com, which has a lot of the same type of videos and articles and success stories that we would encourage people to do their homework with.
Well, wonderful. And homework, I love homework. I give homework all the time. I love education. You've got to research as much as you can, whether it's you're starting it yourself or you want to buy a franchise, because you're right. If you're going to invest $100,000 or more into a business opportunity, you want to make sure you find the right one that you're going to love and enjoy, because you still have to do all the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Agree.
You just have a support system, which includes you as a support system.
Absolutely. I love helping open doors for my clients. It always makes me smile to see how people are surprised by what they get excited about. My job is to help people uncover ideas that they are well aligned for that they probably would never think of or find on their own. And that's a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. So I would like to thank Leslie for joining us today. Thank you for listening to the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, like us on Facebook, and share our podcast link with all of your micro business owner friends. If you're interested in joining our conversation, you can reach us on Twitter at microbizpodcast or email podcast@ympconsultants.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you again for joining us today. My name is Mary McCarthy, owner of YMT Consultants. Where starting a business is tough and failing a business is unnecessary.
Liberty National Bank is a community-focused bank with 6 locations in Central and Northwest Ohio. You can expect the best from our people and from the range of personal, business, and lending services. One of our goals is to make you a customer for life. Our newest office is in Westerville, located on the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Main Street. Please visit us online at myliberty.bank. Liberty National Bank. Expect the best. Liberty National Bank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.